spirit when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Calm down, spirit when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Hey, come feel this up, come feel this up, yeah.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit come move over us, come rest on us, come rest on us.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit come move over us.
Rest on us, come rest on us. So calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving.
Thank you.
is offered in.
My future is heaven.
My future is heaven.
I praise God.
Come on and lift up a shout to the Lord all over this place. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for what you've done. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for saving us. God, we thank you for the healing. We thank you for the joy of knowing our salvation. We thank you for the future that you have in store for each and every one of us. We lift up a shout to the King. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Nobody like you, Lord. There's nobody like you, Father, in heaven or in earth. Oh, Jesus, we glorify your matchless worth today. Oh, come on, there's victory in your praise. There's victory in your praise. The devil is defeated. Death is defeated. The grave has been conquered. There is victory in our praise today. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we magnify you. Jesus, we lift up your holy name. Jesus, we lift up your holy name. Oh, right now, even in this moment. Jesus. Jesus. Even when we just say the name Jesus, there's victory in our praise. Jesus. Come on, Alpha and Omega, sing it out.
Alpha and Omega.
He's the beginning and the end.
Shine.
deserves all the praise. Finishes what he starts. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up our praise to you today. God, we thank you that you're worthy of our praise, of all that we can give. And so we come to you with expectation today for great things, God, because you are the Alpha and the Omega. You finish what you start. You are the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And so we give you all of our praise today. And we believe for great things. And the people of God said, amen. 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 Hallelujah. There is such a
a tender moment in this room right now. There's electricity charging this atmosphere, and I believe anything is possible when we're gathered in God's presence. Do you believe that? And so we're excited for what God's going to do in the rest of this service. If this is your first time with us, we want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. We'd like to get to know you, and so we invite you after the service to meet us at the Welcome Center right here in the foyer so that we can give you a gift and a personal welcome to our church. If you're tuning in today, thank you for joining us wherever you are in the world. And we have a couple of announcements. We are going back to Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. in the Family Life Center. We've been meeting here in the sanctuary. We're going to return to the Family Life Center. We're starting a brand new series called Walking in Victory, and Pastor Billy and Stacy Collins are going to be teaching that, and we are so excited. Do you love this precious couple? Come on, let's give it up for them. And so we have great expectation for what's going to happen right here starting this Wednesday. Also, something new is that the youth are having an additional meeting. Oh, I hear the youth somewhere. Do I hear the youth? On Wednesday nights, I hear one youth. Praise the Lord. You're as young as you think you are. Age is just a number. I'm still accused of being a youth all the time, so don't worry. Wednesday nights, 7 p.m., the youth are having an additional meeting. They're still meeting Sundays at 5, but now there's also an opportunity to meet Wednesdays at 7. Tamika Stevenson is going to be leading that. Where are you at, Tamika? Can you just come on, let's give her a hand. And so we're excited for that. We want to invest in our youth as much as possible and give them as many opportunities as possible to get to know Jesus better. And at this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. I want to remind you to continue to give to Kingdom Builders so that every week we're giving to missions, we're giving to special projects. You have an opportunity to fulfill your pledge, whether that's on a weekly basis or a monthly basis. We want to give you the opportunity to go above and beyond your tithe and experience the blessing of the Lord, because God blesses us when we give. If you're giving by cash or check, please include your email in the memo line. If this is your first time giving online, there's a QR code right behind me. Just scan that. And if you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow into the work of your kingdom, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the Bible says that when we give, you open up the windows of heaven and you pour out a blessing that we cannot contain. And so, Father, we release our finances to you today, trusting you to be faithful to your word. God, we ask you for faith today to be faithful to you, even with our finances, God, even when it hurts, even when it's difficult. Lord, we give all that we are to you. Father, we offer up a sacrifice of praise today in our giving. We worship you, Lord, and we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. You can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. And I'm excited for a special treat today. We've had a recent addition to our worship team right here on the saxophone, Mr. Brandon Baum. Would you give it up for him?
there's a demon around you, it's your fault. Amen. They should have all run, right? Come on, y'all. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, God, that you are in our midst today to speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you for dwelling together with people in heavenly places here on this earth. I bless not only this church, but the churches who are gathering around about us, Lord. I pray for Northeast North Carolina. I pray for Ahoskie, our own little Jerusalem, God, that you'd pour out your spirit. The spirit of revival, Lord, would just invade us as we repent of our sin and turn to you. We exalt you today, God. Have your way among us. Thank you, God, that this church is a testimony that people can love one another. That we can lay aside our differences and worship you in spirit and in truth. I bless the nations of the earth who watch us weekly. I bless them in Jesus' name. I pray for Israel today, Lord. God, have your way. Protect that little spot on the map, God. For that little spot on the map is a mirror for the world. And Lord, we pray for Israel today. In the strong name of Jesus, amen and amen. Come on, give it up for Israel, y'all. Hallelujah. Before I preach this morning, I want to read a message to you from a soldier in the Israel Defense Fund. Served for many years. He lives in the Negev. Some of you have been to Israel with me, have met Ron. Shout out to Ron. He lives in the desert of Negev. And he sent me a message just a little while ago. He asked yesterday, naturally, please pray for us. The fireworks are coming. And this is what he said just a little while ago. Thank you so much, Pastor. My family is okay. In fact, all of Israel is okay. Only one person is hurt. And he was not a Hebrew. He was a Bedouin, an Arab, yes, a Muslim. So Iran just launched 600 rockets and missiles into Israel, and they only hit one of their own kind. Come on, y'all. Amen. Come on. No harm. It was interesting to watch the Iron Dome do its job. Thank God for U.S. soldiers who are knocking them down. Amen. Come on, thank God for America, y'all. There's still hope for this nation. Come on, y'all. Thank you, Lord. So we bless Israel in Jesus' name. Pray for this nation. Pray for Israel throughout the course of your week. And we're believing God for the best outcome possible. The spirit of confusion. I want to speak a message to you today. The spirit of confusion. I'm going to chart down a series of messages that I'm entitled The Signs of the Times, and today would be the first one. So I want you to prepare yourself for looking ahead. Somebody say ahead into the future. Amen. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping. Come on, y'all. Into the future. Y'all with me? Come on, y'all. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Don't y'all know any secular music? Or what's wrong with y'all? Come on, y'all. Let's go. I thought y'all were in a good mood. Y'all just... Brandon, they did it for you. They ain't touching me, man. I don't know what's going on. The spirit of confusion, amen? It was a normal day for me. Normal day. It was in June. I'll never forget this. It's been a few years back. I was leading a busy life as a husband, a father, a pops, a pastor to pastors, a real estate business, a 501c3, Barnabas 21, job with NCAG, area director, just watching over. I got a lot to do, y'all. Come on. Got a lot to do, and to whom much is given, much is required. And I was fulfilling all of those duties to the best of my ability, and everything that I'm called to do, as far as I know, in that season of my life would be classed as satisfactory. I killed two birds with one stone on this day. I went to Greenville. I had made a hospital visit, Pitt County Memorial Hospital. But I was killing two birds with one stone. I had a visit, but I also had some paperwork that, because of the client I was dealing with, had to be done the old-fashioned way, so we had to use paper. And so I had to stop by the real estate office there and turn in some paperwork. And I remember walking in that day, and I remember walking up to the receptionist desk, and I laid my paperwork there, and she said, "Yes, can I help you?" I said, "Yeah, I need to..." And I just stopped. And I thought, what am I here for? Why am I standing here? I stood there. She said, "Mr. Phillips, are you okay?" And I looked back at her and I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "Do you have an office I could use?" And she said, "Sure." And she came around from the counter and she walked with me as if she was concerned about me. I could tell that. And she opened the door to a conference room that had a conference table and about 8 chairs. And she said, "Have a seat right here." And she said, "Let me know if you need anything." And I sat in that office. And Tracy, I looked at my computer. I opened it up, my MacBook, and I opened it up and I didn't know how to sign in. And I sat there, just bewildered. And I slowly took the laptop and I closed it. I grabbed my cord and my keys and she said, "Are you finished?" And I turned back and looked at her and I said, "Yes." I got in my truck and I did know how to drive home. And the whole time I was going home, I was thinking, what is this? I knew the highway. I knew how to get home. I knew I was going home. But I realized that something had come over me, and I couldn't really put any words to it. I didn't think, well, maybe I should call someone. Maybe I should speak to Joy. Maybe. So I just sent her a text or something that day, and I said, "Hey, I'm on my way home. Going to be a shorter day out today. I'm going to be home." And we talked later and I told her what was happening. I spent a few weeks trying to process what was this. Because I lost my abilities. I lost my thinking. I lost my computer skills. I'm relying. I'm very tech savvy for somebody who's my age. I use computers, cell phones, everything all the time, syncing one to another, real estate contracts, business deals, church stuff, sermons, everything. I use computers and cell phones every day for hours. But that day I was not able to even sign in to my laptop. Was it an anxiety attack? Was it a panic attack? Was it spiritual? Was it stress? Was it happening? What was that was happening to me that day? Confusion's not something that's new. Nor is the level of confusion, here we go, the same for every person. You may minimize something. Someone may tell you something like, I couldn't do the MRI. What do you mean? It's just a test. If you don't understand the feeling that's attached to it, then you have no reason to criticize. Hey, somebody, how many of y'all had one of them crazy tests? Come on. You lose all your rights, don't you? Even the rights to your own space. You may say, "Well, I'm here today, and Pastor, I full well know what a panic attack is." Come on, anybody? Anybody know what a panic attack? Look at that. A panic attack. I don't have any idea what was happening to me that day, but I know this. I was confused. I don't know. I know I'm not the sharpest tool in the box, but I've got some smarts, I believe. Amen. I believe I'm a smart man. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Amen. That's a good place for you to stand up and shout. Come on, y'all. Woo! He's smart. Amen. I must say to you, Billy, I wasn't the big chief that day. I wasn't. I was out of business, man. I was out of business. And I couldn't comprehend what this was, but I do know this. I was very confused. What is confusion? Confusion is not a cookie cutter experience. In other words, confusion can be different for one person than it is for another. Confusion, according to our dictionary in the English language, is this: the lack of understanding or the state of being bewildered, and that's what I was, in one's mind about something. So you always heard me as a pastor say, listen, you can't depend on Webster for looking up words in the Bible. So I looked up confusion in the Bible, okay? So, because I want to see what the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament say that confusion is. And this is one of those rare cases where the biblical word for confusion is the very same as the English word for confusion. The concept is the same. It's a lack of understanding or an uncertainty or a state of bewilderment that you and I can experience and not really understand or comprehend. Sometimes confusion comes from God. You say, really? What? Confusion comes from God? Yes. Genesis chapter 11, verses 7 and 9. It's God who does the confusing here. Come, let us go down. Remember the story of the Tower of Babel? Come, let us go down and let us confuse, there you go, their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Where'd the confusion come from? It came from God. Okay. Exodus chapter 23. Look at what the Lord says he will do to lead his chosen people on to victory as they take the land that he gives them. That battle's still going on. A two-state solution. Don't listen to it. We don't need a two-state solution. That land belongs to God's people. Amen. No two-state solution. He says, I will send my terror, this is God speaking, I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into, there's the word again, what? Confusion. Every nation you encounter, I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you cause Iran to run like a scared dog today? Keep your hands on Israel, because you, God, are the ones that can call. One that can cause them confusion. Deuteronomy 7 verse 23 records this. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into a great confusion until they are destroyed. There's confusion in the New Testament as well. And the devil himself becomes the great, here we go, depositor of questions, doubts, disbelief. In fact, some of you are sitting here today in some area of your life. You're scratching your head, wondering what in the world you should do. I don't know if I should do this or not. I don't know if I should take this position or not. I don't know if I should go on this journey or not. I don't know if I should resign from the company or not. I don't know if I'm yet ready to retire or not. You're confused. Somebody said, yes, I am ready to retire too. Come on. Pastor Bernie, go ahead and give them your notice tomorrow, man. Come on, tell them you're done. Tell them, take this job. No, I'm sorry. Come on, y'all. I feel anointed this morning. Come on, Johnny Paycheck. Some of the young people are like, who's that? Okay. It's okay. Millennials may not get it, but I know half of y'all do. Okay. So the New Testament has confusion as well. And the devil himself, he becomes this great, as I said, depositor of questions, doubts, disbelief. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I'm just studying the Bible out loud, y'all. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and in your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Okay, this is the devil here. The Spirit who is now at work, he's still working, y'all. He's at work in those who are disobedient. People who haven't come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why are we so surprised that the world is so confused? Because if you don't have Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, you're subject to act any old way, any old kind of way. In other words, Satan himself has armed a people who carry demonic influence and power throughout the earth. You know, I love just watching and catching some things on TikTok. But you know what? I get tired of the, man, I got to get away from that one. Don't you get tired of that? Don't you wish we had a TikTok that was kind of safe, you know? You can come across some good things, some preaching of the gospel, some great, encouraging, inspirational posts, and then you come up with some crap. Come on. It's like, wow. So you have to be careful. Because the enemy has infiltrated everything about this earth. Satan himself has armed people who carry demonic influence, and so people become confused, and people question the truths of God and of his kingdom, and people doubt, and people disbelieve, and they become uncertain. And that's really not something that's unusual. Jesus said there was a time when his disciples were even confused, and this is really not a bad confusion. Matthew 8:27, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? I'm confused here. Even the winds obey him. They're listening to him. Even the winds and the waves are listening to him. Rather than experience the wonders of the master, they questioned when they witnessed and they wondered. Acts chapter 2, verse 12, the disciples who experienced Pentecost that day, where they were a little what? Confused. A little bit confused, not a bad confusion, amazed and perplexed. They asked one another, verse 12, what does this mean? Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 32. Luke bothers to tell the people about confusion. It's Paul, the apostle here, who's heading toward Jerusalem. Luke is telling us the story. Leaving the elders at Ephesus, and this is what he said to them. He's on a mission here. He's preaching the gospel. He's establishing the church. He says in verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the church, all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. That's what I am. I'm an overseer for this church. He's made you an overseer. Be shepherds of the church of God. That's the role of the pastor. The word in the original language is poimen. It's a shepherd. He's a shepherd of the sheep. He says, I want you to be watchful over them. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know, here we go, verse 29. I know that after I leave you, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Can I just tell you, there's a whole quadre of people in the world today that are preaching false doctrine. And it looks good on TikTok. Oh, you should watch this. Oh, you should tune into this. This don't even cost you nothing. This is free. You better be careful whose program you sign up for. I said, you better be careful whose program you sign up for, because you don't know what some people are teaching. You don't know if they're grounded in the truth or as flaky as a $3 bill. And I've understood something a long time ago. You can be as flaky as a $3 bill. Somebody will follow you. Somebody will listen to you. You better make sure what you're listening to is grounded in the truth. So he warns them, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Verse 30, even from your own number, right in your own place, men will arise and they will do what? Distort the truth in order to draw disciples away. Hey, follow me. Follow me. Pastor Wallace don't know what he's talking about. He's been at it too long. Okay. Verse 31, so be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, he said, I never stopped warning each of you night and day in tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So we see this picture of the crossfire of spiritual thought, the crossfire of spiritual life. Everybody's always got something better. This is a new revelation. There are no new revelations. Can I tell you that? It's Genesis to Revelation. God may illuminate the truth to you, but you're not going to get a brand new revelation. The revelation is closed, friends. It's closed. Read the back of the book. If you go adding to the revelation, you're in danger of hellfire. And some people want to put what they say on a level of equality with God's word. Just because somebody prefaces what they say to you with, "Thus saith the Lord," doesn't mean it's true. Okay? That's why you need to study and show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, that can rightly divide and can also recognize faults when it appears, okay? How do people who work with counterfeit money recognize counterfeit money? They study the real. Come on, y'all. They study the real, so when the false comes, it easily stands out. We're in a crossfire of spiritual influence. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 talks about confusion. Confusion that comes from false influences. He says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Some people are just looking for a following. Y'all got quiet on me here. They're just looking for a following. False teachers are used by God to bring false teaching and confusion. The devil stands ready to release confusion on God's people anytime, all the time. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for Satan himself does what? Masquerades as an angel of light. Confusion in the lives of God's children doesn't come from God. Confusion doesn't come from God. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the congregations of the Lord's people. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9 fights for the truth here. Paul says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly, look at what he says, deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning away to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you, here's the word again, into what? Confusion. And you're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. That's why, beloved, it's important. You should be in Bible study. You should study the Word of God. You should get the Word of God inside of you so that something comes to your ears. You say, what? People call me all the time, text me all the time. Pastor, can I ask you a question? I was listening to someone yesterday. This guy said, and I just wondered for a minute, is this right? This don't sound right. Let me call my pastor. So pastor's sitting on the other end. Hey, hello. Yeah, pastor, this is so-and-so. Could you help me? Google, would you start showing you? No, you better get it inside of you. Google don't know everything either. Okay? Google take you down the wrong path. Okay? Siri too. Okay? All of those guys, they will take you down the wrong path. You better get a foundation that is built on the solid precepts of God, okay? That's why you need to study the Bible. God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of peace. He says, verse 8, for even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. This passage right here reveals where we are today. I've never seen such craziness in the earth as I'm seeing right now. We're in the last of the last days. We are in a season of confusion that is initiated by the devil. I mean, you watch firsthand a confused nation. We are the divided states of America. We're not united. We're even advertising to the world, over here now, this is a red state and this is a blue state. We've got our states divided based on reds and blues and donkeys and elephants. Somebody say, oh, don't talk about politics now. You can't talk about politics. Yes, I can too. You better trust the Lord your God to lead you and guide you to punch the right button, or you may get what you asked for. Y'all quiet on me now. People are confused. Democrats hate Republicans. Republicans hate Democrats. We argue party against party. Red hates blue. Blue hates red. And our news world is telling us we're one or the other. It's a point of division. It's a point of division. It's a sad thing. And then the next thing we have to put up with is still a continued argument of race. I don't care what happens in the earth. You watch the newscasters. I don't care which one you watch. If somebody gets killed, the first thing they do is label that person. He's either white or black. And the one who pulled the trigger is either white or black. And really, it's no really care for the man's life or the woman's life. Now we want to talk about not death and murder and cruelty. We want to talk about racism. Come on. And we want to stir the pot. Start the riot. Start the big party for the devil. Separation, division, hatred. Then you got to form organizations. Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. Then you get just people fighting over who's right and who's wrong. There's nothing united about that. Okay? After all these years, after the amazing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to manifest his love to all of mankind, we're still divided because of the color of our skin. I never will forget it. Years ago, somebody had a birthday party here. One of our black families had a birthday party. And when I rounded the corner, we were invited to the party and went in, you know, celebrated and had some cake and enjoyed the gifts and all that stuff. And I rounded the corner coming down the stairs, and there was someone in the corner there just weeping, just sobbing. I said, "Are you okay?" And she just opened up to me. She says, "Pastor, you just don't understand. There's so much hatred and prejudice in my family." I was like, wait. I'm the only white boy in the house here, okay? I mean, I went to the party. Is somebody upset because I was here? Oh, no, she never has got over the fact that her daughter married somebody with skin darker than hers. I said, wait, you mean there's prejudice in the black community on shade? God, yes, thank you, Pastor Joy. God, help us. Then I go to India. I remember when I went to India in 1994, and these ladies are buying this turmeric powder, and they're covering their faces with turmeric powder, Pastor Frank. And I was like, I asked the missionary, I said, "Tell me, what is this about?" "Oh, she's disappointed. She's too dark, and her family's upset about it. So she's trying to put some foundation on it that will lighten her so she'll be loved more." Have you ever in your life, people are divided and people are, yes, confused. Confused. We are created in the image of God, created after his own likeness. You're fearfully, you're wonderfully made. And you know what? I didn't ask to be white, and you didn't ask to be red or black or yellow. You didn't ask to be what you are. You are what you are. You are the creation of God Almighty. You are beautiful in his sight. Amen. God created you, and there's only one of you. Amen. And he has a divine purpose for your life. But here we are in a nation and in a world today that is divided, yes, not only by politics, but still wanting to pull every time the race card. And now we have a generation of people, here's another one, that are walking in gender dysphoria. Okay? I'm a guy, but I don't want to be a guy. Okay? I'm a girl, but I don't want to be a girl. Don't call me this. Don't call me she. Call me a he. No, you're not a he. Check it out, okay? You're not. You're not one of those. Just drop your britches and you'll be able to tell, okay? That's what God intended you to be, okay? That's what you were made for. That's what God wanted you to be. That's what you are. I don't care what procedure you go through. You are what you are as God created you after his image and his likeness and for his glory. Don't you change that. Don't you change it. Now we got a class of people that, you know, even, man, it made me so angry when my little granddaughter comes home, 8 years old, with the school paper, Abigail Wheelis, male, female, non-binary. What is this? I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure what I am yet. Then there's a host of people out there claiming that they're a part of the feline community. Using the bathroom in a box. North Carolina, y'all. Some of y'all looking at me like you never heard that. There are people that are claiming to be cats. Okay? Have you ever in your life? What is this? It's confusion. It's what the enemy has put down the system. And I hate to tell you this, but our government has stamped their approval on such craziness. Okay? Our government. The people that we elected. That's why you better pray, you better pray, you better pray. God, who should I vote for? Because it matters. And we're just taking our borders. Well, Facebook's probably going to kick me to the curb this week, but that's all right. We're just taking our borders and we're opening them wide open. And when you get here, hey, here's a debit card and a place to stay. Oh, and yeah, you need a gun? We'll give you a permit. They're coming into our borders by the hundreds. You want to wonder why I was praying for revival a few minutes ago? Because we need a revival that starts in the house of God. It starts right in the house of God. And it prepares and equips the people of God to go out and to be the salt and the light that God's called them to be. So we can season this earth with the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. And see the world changed for His glory and His honor. We need revival. A cat. Are you crazy? You ain't no cat. Never in all my life. Gender dysphoria. I'm going to greet you one Sunday morning with a beautiful message that I've sent my staff through it. I put my staff through it, let them listen to it. And I'm going to allow that to play one Sunday morning here in the future, in the next several weeks. The greatest presentation on gender dysphoria that I have ever experienced by Pastor John Lindell. Noah's still in the room? Noah's going to college at James River College. The pastor of the James River Church is John Lindell, and John Lindell pastors the largest Assemblies of God church in the United States. And he has done an absolutely incredible job preaching the truth of God's word and explaining to the body of believers, the saints of God, about this crazy gender dysphoria, this confusion. Confusion. And this kind of thing doesn't come from God. Well, God loves everybody. Yes, He does. He loves everybody. I love everybody. If you're here this morning, you're homosexual, I love you. I do. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with your gender, I love you. I really do. And I will preach to you and teach to you and disciple you with what? The truth of God's word. The truth may hurt your feelings, but the truth will lead you to divine eternity to be with Christ in the heavens. That's what the truth will do. It'll set you free from the bondages that you're going through on this earth and the bondage and the turmoil that you're going through in your own inside and in your life and set you free. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. It's the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are what? Disobedient. Those who don't accept God. Those who don't accept the things of God. Walking in disobedience and spreading their disobedience with demonic influence all over the earth. Ephesians 6:12 says it all. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I told you a moment ago about the crossfire of spiritual thought. That's exactly what it is. The crossroads of spirituality that is just running rampant in our earth today. Colossians 1:13 tells us that we, the children of God, have been rescued by Jesus Christ from the dominion, from the power of the devil. Look at what it says. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves. You have been bought with the price. You have been purchased with the purpose of taking your life and letting your life glorify the Lord in all of you, the things that you say, in all of the things that you do, in all of the things that you post. You are to glorify God. That's what the purpose of your life is. In an America, we're in a battle. We're in the heat of it like never before. Our nation is eroding right in front of us. Our government is corrupt. Our officials work in buildings in Washington, D.C. with scriptures inscribed over all of the buildings, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Ten Commandments, and all of these things, and none of them adhere to them. Most of them don't even know God. Not only do they not know God, they hate righteousness, they hate peace, they hate newborn babies, they hate biblical marriage, they hate Judeo-Christian values, they hate keeping criminals out of our country, they hate unity. Let's just settle the matter. They hate Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, they hate you. Jesus said it, John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, understand this, they hated me first. Acts 26, verse 18, you and I, the Bible teaches us that we are freed from the dominion of Satan and we are Christ followers who walk in his kingdom. And we must remember that God called all believers just like he called the Apostle Paul. Luke said it like this in verse 18, to open their eyes and turn them from what? From darkness toward the light and from the power of Satan to God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. God has pulled you out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel, first for your own good and then for the good of others. Are y'all getting this? That's the mission of Jesus. That's the mission of the gospel. That's the mission of the church. We release faith every day we go out. That's why I said, listen, Wednesday night, those of you who were here in Bible study, I said, listen, when you go out into a restaurant, it's so easy. It's so easy. It's just like cake. You just sit down to the table and the lady comes. She brings you the menu and you, hey, can I get y'all's beverages? Yeah, let me have two unsweets with lime, please. And her name is Carrie. I see her name tag, Carrie. Hey, in a moment, my wife and I are going to be ordering our meal, and we're going to pray over our food, okay? And we'd like to know how we can pray for you, Carrie, as we're praying over our food today. And she goes, oh, wow. I've had people to say, nothing special. And I've had people to break right that moment, and tears flood their eyes, and they almost collapse. And they're going through hardship that is unimaginable. So what happened? Well, God placed Carrie at the right table at the right time when Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy was sitting there, and God wants Carrie to feel the Holy Ghost that comes when I pray in the name of Jesus. And Carrie waits on this couple that she does not know, but Carrie gets a sense of there is a little bit of hope. I can trust this man. Can I ask you where you're from? Yes, I'm from Ahoskie right here. What do you do? I work at Carpenter Shop Church. I'm the pastor, actually. Let me invite you to our church. Sharing the gospel should be ingrained in who you are. It's not about standing up and pointing your bony finger and telling people they're going to hell because they're living like this and that and the other. It's about loving people and accepting them for where they are. Where they are. The song that Brandon played this morning, like the spirit of Kenny G was all over him. Just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy God blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, the Lord takes me. I like what Max Lucado said. Max Lucado says, yeah, God's going to take you just like you am, but he refuses to leave you that way, okay? He's not going to leave you that way. He's going to take you on a process of constant transformation and change to cause you to become the person that he's called you to be. Okay? Man, I got a track record, bud. I got a track record that's not good. I've done some crazy stuff in my life, And God just kind of moved me through the channels like a pawn on a chessboard. And I've come to where I am today, 63 years old, and I don't feel like I've just scratched the surface to what God wants to accomplish in and through my life. I'm excited about what God's getting ready to do in my life. I'm excited to be where I am. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And I'm excited every day I get an opportunity to share that precious gospel with somebody, even if it's just as simple as a, hey, we're going to pray over our food here in a minute. How can we pray for you? No, that's not teaching. That's not preaching. And I've had the privilege, if I never do another thing, I've authored books, I've been on television, I've been around the world, been in 35 countries. If I never do another thing, but the most joy I get is meeting the Carries at the table. One-on-one saying, hey, how can I pray for you, okay? Just being a Christian. Not being Dr. Phillips or Pastor Phillips or Arthur Phillips or he's on the TV show. The greatest fun I ever have is just being a Christian. Just being a believer in Jesus Christ. Being able to share his love. Because we live in a confused world. I'm still trying to process this thing that took place to me that day when I set my computer up there and opened it up. I said, God, what was that? What was that? Maybe it was God showing me that panic attacks are real. Maybe I had bit off more than I could chew and I wasn't properly handling the 86,400 seconds in everything we call one day. 24 hours. Maybe I overdid it. Maybe I maxed out. Maybe I tapped. Okay. I don't know. But I do know this. That day, I was very confused. That day, I came in touch with the reality of what a lot of people experience in a world of confusion and bewilderment. What was its purpose? Was it to prepare me to be keenly aware of the enemy's vices, his tactics in these times of unprecedented uncertainty? I do not know. Was it to give me a glimpse of his efforts to bring confusion to people in perilous times, which the devil does so well? I don't know. I don't know. Times that Paul told Timothy about. Listen, he said this. He said in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, you need to mark this. Look at what he says here. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. Has he got anybody in your family yet? Come on, y'all. Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of what we know is good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. They march right down there to the church and lift their hands, but then live like hell the rest of the week. They don't deny any power in the gospel. I mean, they deny the power in the gospel. He says, I don't want you to have anything to do with people like this. Don't have anything to do with those. Hypocritical people. You know, it's just time we call it out. Call it for what it is. Sometimes you just need to be honest with folk. Just call it out. I really don't know the answer to the question about what I think was a spiritual encounter. But I do know this. I polled a few of my friends. People that I respect say, hey, let me tell you what happened to me. A couple of them had experienced the same thing in their life. Yeah, I've been through that. And said that one of them said to me, I had that happen to me, but I was just ashamed to tell anybody. One of my close friends said this, and I quote him, we are living in a very spiritual season. And I'm confident, he said, that the people to whom we minister to have had or are having crazy, critical, spiritual experiences where the enemy is consistently trying to attack their minds. Well said. You ever have as a believer, you might leave here today, had a wonderful service, pastor, love your message, love the worship. Man, love the horn there. Love the solo. But then maybe tomorrow you're at work and you're trying to earn a living, pay your bills, take care of your family, and you lose your cool and cuss words start to come out of your mouth like it hadn't come out in a long time. You just kind of lose it. These are the times that we live in where the enemy tries to get a hold of you and tries to work his way into your life and speak through your mouth and behave through your emotions. Come on, y'all. Are y'all normal Christian people, or am I dealing with just the people who float around in life in the clouds? La, la, la. Amazing grace. Come on, is that the way y'all live? No. You're normal human beings, okay? I have cuss words come into my head quite often. I just don't let them come out of my mouth. Okay? Stop it. Look. Oh, shut up. Shut up. You ain't coming out of my mouth. Okay? Now you've gotten these godly people sitting up here. I can't believe he said he thinks about cuss words. Pray for them, would you, Father, in the name of Jesus? Are we having fun yet, Tracy? Come on, y'all. I'm just being serious with you. Life is challenging. And you and I live in a very, very confusing day. Confusing day. Yes, that was a normal day for me. But something supernatural, I believe, happened that wasn't normal. And I believe it's one of the signs of the times. Has confusion tried to knock on your door? Has the enemy tried to attack your mind? The mind of your children, the mind of your spouse, the mind of your family? Today, why don't you make a fresh commit to ground yourselves in two things: the Word of Almighty God and the power of His precious Holy Spirit. Let's plead the blood of Jesus afresh and anew on our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our very souls. What is your soul, Pastor? Pastor, what's the soul? It's mind, will, and emotions. Okay? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. One final verse that I think is so important to share with you before we open this altar. Colossians 3:15-16. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit and saxophones. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Father, I come against the spirit of confusion that is rampant in the earth today. I pray for confused children of people that are either sitting here or listening to us on television. Confused children who are behaving in some kind of way that lets us know that they are very, very confused about their own gender. Lord, give us a love for people. I pray for people that are crazily bent always toward race and differences, and how they're always looking at how somebody mistreated me, that you would let them recognize that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and they are the very person that God wants them to be, and that you are in control of their life. I pray for those persons that are so caught up in the politics of the day that they become more of a champion of a political party than they ever were of the kingdom of God. Father, call us to a place of neither Democrat nor Republican, but Christian first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and and everything else will fall into place. I come against the spirit of confusion in the lives of these your people, Lord. Let the peace of God rule in their hearts. In Jesus' mighty name. Before we open the altars for just general reasons, is there anyone here today? Pastor, you read my email, bro. I'm not living the way that I should, but I want to live that way. I want to renew my faith in Christ Jesus today. I want to make a statement for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're bold enough, just stand right where you are. Come on, don't waste any time. Just stand up. I want to renew my faith in Christ. That's right. That's right. Just come on. Make your way down to the front. Somebody's going to come and pray with you. Are there others? I want to renew my faith in Christ. God bless you for honesty. That's right. Just come on. Need some people to pray for these that have come to give their hearts, their lives to Jesus. Thank God for the salvation, the souls of people. Thank you, Dr. Murray. Now for the rest of us, I would just encourage you today, just to, let's stand together, just encourage you today, let's just slip out of your seat and find yourself a place around this altar. Plead the blood of Christ over yourself and your family. Lord, I just ask you, God, to put a hedge of protection around my mind, my thought life, everything about me. Help me be a person today that is not confused, but rather fully at peace with who I am, at peace with who, what family I'm a part of, at peace with everything that's going on in my life, knowing if there is difficulty, if there is challenge, that you are the Lord of it, and you can deliver me or take me through it, one or the other. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your people today. That's right, just move on in. Find yourself, move in a little closer. People are still coming. Why are you at the altar? You just want God to just surround you, protect you, keep you safe, keep you at peace. Don't get caught up in politics. Don't watch too much TV. Just concentrate on being the best version of you you can be with God's help. Hallelujah. Go ahead, sing it. Just ask God for peace in your life, peace in your family.
Oh,
pastors would, you ministers, would you grab those oils on the side here and just walk through and just put a dot on people's head. Just walk through there. You don't have to pray and belabor. Just walk through there and pray for people quickly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just anointing their heads with oil.
Let's just worship the Lord just a little bit longer, just a little bit longer. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. You are worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray there's a person here, your mind. You've had that exact thing that the pastor talked about today. We've had that blackout in the mind. Hallelujah. We want to press in a little bit longer. I pray, Lord, for peace, Lord. That sound mind, Lord. I pray for a sound mind today, Lord, as we receive that word today from our pastor, Lord. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but your word says that you have given us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. We thank you that we are not the people that walk in confusion, Lord. We thank you we're not the ones that stumble in the darkness, but we walk in the light as you are the light, Lord. And we thank you today, Lord. Help us as we receive that engrafted word today to not leave it in this sanctuary, but take it with us this afternoon, this day, this week, all the days of our life, Lord. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We go in victory this week. Hallelujah. God bless you.